Are you going to teach? You going to teach with me?
No.
Okay. All righty. Let's start in Philippians. No, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. I don't think I've even read this one this weekend, which is kind of surprising to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 16. Let's start in, I can't even read the 16, yeah. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Reverend Crumman says, wherefore we're not discouraged. Although our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is renewed day by day. It's that of the mind. Thus our momentary light weight of affliction produces for us an eternal, exceedingly heavy weight of glory, while we focus not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. In fact, the things that are seen, they're only temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. There's an exceeding heavy weight, eternal, heavy, heavy weight of glory coming to us. The context previous to this was all the discouragement he was facing, but not discouraged out of measure. He was pressed upon, but not in despair. You know, he goes through all those different things. And then he's dealing with believers that think he's full of it. And he says, look, we believe the same as you do. We're looking for the same hope as you are. And so remember, in the things that we're going through today, they don't even compare to the exceeding greatness, eternal, heavy reward, all the things it says. Let's go to Romans. Very similar. That corrected what they didn't believe in Romans. Okay. In Romans it says, verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our inner being that we're the children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And this guy was Southern, because he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Isn't that something? Now, read the rest of it here. For the earnest expect... I'm in chapter 8 of Romans, sorry. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Going to be big changes when we come back. And for the creature was made subject to vanity, which Doctor translated as disappointing misery. Not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, that's what happens with death, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together even until now. Why? It's because of the curse from the fall. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the what?
Spirit.
Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Oh, man. Waiting for the adoption, the sonship, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved to hope. We're not saved by hope, but we're saved in hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we don't see yet, we wait for it with patience. I want to talk to you a little bit about this waiting and looking. Look at it. Look at Titus 2:13. Titus 2:13. I've got to find it in here because I've got the footnotes with the verses and the Greek words. Okay, you guys, I'm still here. I'm just looking. I'm still looking. I'm still looking. I'm still looking. I know what it's supposed to look like. I'm still looking. I can't find it. Go through this thing and find it's got looking and waiting, and it's got like these bullet things, and they'll be listed. And it'll have footnotes down at the bottom what the Greek word was.
Does it reference Titus 2:13?
That'll be one of them, yeah. Philippians 3:20, Hebrews 9:28, 1 Corinthians 1:7, Galatians 5:5, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. The same words translated, sometimes wait, sometimes look. I wrote it down. It's in this one, page 322. I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer. Don't ever write your notes at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. In this book, on page 322. Are you looking for Christ? Oh, that it were today. I said there are times that the pressures of life just overwhelm us. From a five senses perspective, there are times that maybe just seem insurmountable, and we're tempted to faint in our minds. In times like these, we need to keep our eyes fixed on our hope in Christ and the riches of the glory that our Father guarantees us we will inherit. The understanding of our hope will renew us day by day. It gives us the stamina we need to endure the trials of life and stand as sons of God in this present evil world. The hope of Christ's return is the anchor of our soul. I got it. The day of salvation is coming, and the light affliction we endure today is not worth comparing to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that we share together with Christ as joint heirs. We're sealed for this day. God had the prophet Joel write to Israel and say, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. It's not just the years, it's the stuff that happened in those years. You got things you'd like restored in your life that were just eaten away from you by the adversary? I know I do. Great losses. So God had Joel write, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. The adversary wants to devour what God has blessed us with in our lives as a swarm of locusts devours what's in its path. Day by day, we must remember that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, both now and throughout eternity. When our Lord returns, he will restore all that the adversary has stolen from us. Our Father puts the enduring of our light affliction for the moment in the proper perspective, does he not? This far more exceeding and eternal heavy weight of glory will be ours when Christ comes for the church, which is his body. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. He is Christianity. He's the head of the body, the church. All that we now are, All that we now have, all that we will be is permanently fixed in Christ and His achievements. God sees us in Christ. And nothing will ever separate us from this glorious reality. He doesn't see your flesh anymore. So why do you? If you ever look at it. And I got more to look at all the time. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Sonship rights, abilities, privileges associated with this esteemed position. We're citizens of the heavens seated together with Christ. We're God's habitation and members of His household. When we decide to look at things from God's point of view, we have a much better perspective than the limited earthly viewpoint that the senses register. If we will allow the light of God's Word to enlighten our understanding, and we will believe it, we will not faint in our minds. The light affliction we endure today is nothing compared to the glory we will share with Christ. That sounded pretty good. I'm being funny. I'm trying my best. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It should read, looking for that blessed hope and appearing of the glory of God, the appearing of the glory of the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that makes sense. Jesus Christ coming is our blessed hope. His appearing will be the realization of the hope of the glory of God for us. When He comes, it will be to save us. We should expect the return of our Lord with great anticipation. If we keep our eyes on the hope of His return, the cares of this world will not be as burdensome. They're only temporary compared to the far more exceeding and heavy eternal weight of glory which God reserved for us. It should ever be before our eyes and in our hearts. The Word of God instructs us to look for, to patiently wait for, to ardently expect Him. Philippians 3:20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word look is apek dekomai. Twice it is translated look for, five times as wait for, as in the Authorized, that's the King James Version. It means to wait out, to wait long for, to wait ardently. Our citizenship's in heaven, from whence we ardently look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever want something so bad you ache for it? That's what it's talking about. Hebrews 9:28, this is from the NIV. And He, Christ, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Corinthians 1:7, it says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are all same word. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit, that's the whole package of the new birth reality. We wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. Okay, we wait by believing. Believing what? All believing has to have an object. What are you believing? 1 + 1 = 2. We believe that, right? Today the sky is blue and white. I believe that. We're to believe what God says. We're to take His word over the senses. It has precedence over the senses and what they tell us. So waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ardently expect it. Galatians 5:5. We through the Spirit, by the whole new birth reality, wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait. The word here is A-N-A M-E-N-O, to wait with patience and confident expectancy, to wait for as the coming of the morning sun. How much confidence you got the sun's going to come up in the morning?
Very confident.
That's the confidence we ought to have in Christ's return. Vine did that in his Greek dictionary. Okay, which 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Is that the one I just read?
Yep.
Wait for his son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, who delivers from wrath to come. The one object of hope for the church is the return of Christ. The apostles believed that it was imminent. They didn't instruct the saints to look for signs and seasons, but for the return of the Lord from heaven. Colossians 3:1-2. If you then be risen with Christ, and it's if, I forget how it's the Greek thing, but it means since. It's not if you might be, it is since. It's eper, I think, but I can't remember the construction. Anyway, since we are risen with Christ, we should occupy ourselves with the realities that involves. We should live as dead men who are raised to life. We should serve in newness of the Spirit. Our thoughts and affections should be centered in the spiritual realm in what Christ accomplished and in what God made us to be in Him. Because Christ is our life. See, the old man died. You now have life in Christ. All that remains is His return for us. And then, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. What works could we possibly do to deserve this glory? It's so priceless, so costly, that God had to make it available to us by His grace. Romans 5:2 from the Amplified. Through Him, Jesus our Lord, also we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into this grace, this state of God's divine favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult, E-X-U-L-T, in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. The Lord Jesus gave us the introduction and entrance into the state of God's divine favor. Now we're firmly and safely standing in His grace towards us. You know, the word literally means He engraced us. That's pretty good. He engraced us. We're surrounded by it. The word in means in and remaining in, resting in, circle. It's a dot in the middle. We're engraced. In other words, His divine favor, we're full of it. We're the object of His affection. He's the one that shows it to us. We didn't earn the access. It's now ours through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We now stand in God's grace, not in our works. We rest in God's grace. That's why we can exult. We can rejoice in the hope of enjoying the glory of God. We've gone from dead in sin to alive before God, from condemned to redeemed, from headed into the teeth of the wrath of God to save from it, from enemies of God to beloved sons. Our hearts and minds should just overflow with thankfulness for the undeserved divine favor shown us in Christ. We're engraced. That's the best description I give you of it. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our God is the God of the hope, the one and only, the one in Christ. So all the text reads, He provided our hope in Christ. The hope of Christ's return for the church is the grand finale of Revelation in the book of Romans. We should abound in hope. Is that the word parasuo? Does anybody have? Abound, over and beyond. You abound in hope. If you go to the, let's say you're a multi-level marketer and you get a check every month. You go to the mailbox and it's 10,000 one month and 20,000 the next and 30 the next. You abound in your expectation, don't you? Yeah, got a check today. Wonder if a mailman came. Let me at it. That's right, isn't it? We got make-believe cookies everywhere. Oh, boy.
Chocolate chips.
Chocolate chips. Oh, my favorite. Yeah. The hope of Christ's return for the church is the grand finale. We abound in hope. It should govern our stands, our thinking, our resolve. If we took a set of scales and put the hope of Christ's return on one side of the scales and the daily stuff, junk, and things of life that we endure on the other, it ought to be obvious that the hope of glory far outweighs the things we endure today. Understanding the hope will give you the stamina required to stand as a son of God day by day. And I'll tell you, there are things that can bring you to your knees. Just let them go. It's not being cold. It's just the only, it's survival. You just got to let them go. Stuff happens. And the adversary's behind it. And if he can take you out, he'll take you out. If he can keep you from walking with the living God, he will by any means. Just don't buy into it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. From the glory of the new birth to the glory of the new bodies we'll have at the return, even as this, by the Spirit of the Lord. When we confess Jesus as the Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, we received his Spirit, his DNA, the divine nature. The Spirit of the Lord, the Sonship Spirit, removed the veil from our eyes, and now we can see spiritually. When we behold the glory of the Lord, it's like seeing a reflection in a mirror. We're beholding what he created us to be in Christ. From the birth to the stature of the fullness of the mature man. Spirit of the Lord changed us from being natural men to men who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and we were transformed into the same image from glory to glory and by the Spirit of the Lord. We have the glory of the Spirit of the Lord today, and when our Lord returns, we'll have glorious spiritual bodies like his. We're going to see him face to face. We'll be transformed to be like he is. It's truly Christ in you, the hope of glory. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the world or at the glorious hope of Christ's return? You become what you look at. If you look at the world, you're going to faint from its burdens. If you want to be filled with joy and peace and believing, keep your eyes on what God says you are in Christ and look at the bigger picture, his return. Abound, abound, abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Abounding in hope cannot hurt you. It can only strengthen you and keep you joyous and peaceful. Put on the helmet of salvation, it says in Ephesians 6:17 and 1 Thessalonians 5:8. A helmet protects your what? That's it. The helmet's the hope of salvation. If we're to stand as God's sons in this crooked and perverse world today, it's essential that we hold the hope foremost in our thinking. The hope of Christ's return is the anchor of our soul. It's certain and fixed. As Christ Jesus entered the heavenlies, so shall we. The glory of the new birth is only the beginning. The fulfillment of the purpose of the ages awaits us. 1 Corinthians 15:58 reads, therefore, my beloved, I've heard that word before, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep your eyes on the hope. Press toward the finish line for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. We press on with God's word, his Spirit, our standing in Christ, and our sonship rights. We study, we change our thinking to line up with God's as to who we are in Christ. We believe God's word, and live in the reality of His love. We're God's epistle, known and read of all men. Until He returns, live in the love of God as you renew your mind and manifest it to others. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look at 1 Peter. We'll close here. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And set Him apart in there. Set a place for Him in there. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and great respect for God. Father, thank You for the day, for Your love, Your great grace. I thank You for healing every heart in this room, for providing every need to be filled, to being the living God, the source, the fountain of living waters. Father, we take at Your word, and we lay our request at Your feet. So whatever they are, take a moment to yourself and just lay them there. And speak in tongues. Father, You know our frame, the hairs on our head. You know our hearts. Heal them, Father. Make Your word a living word. And let it minister to whatever need Your people may have. We look to no other but to You, Father, for our sufficiency. Show us great grace. Great grace, Father. And open doors for us to speak Your word that it can live. And Father, heal marriages. Heal hearts. Let the past go. Get us to see us as You see us. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father. And may we forever see ourselves from Your perspective, as Your beloved, as Your dear children, as Your holy ones. And thank You for Your goodness to us day after day, that we can live every day knowing it is the good pleasure of Your will to care for us. So we just cast our cares on You because You care for us. And we thank You for fulfilling Your word. It's Your word, Father, so You fulfill it. And be our God, our living God, that we can turn to in every situation. And mend our hearts. Heal our bodies. And provide all things for us to enjoy. May we live in Christ, having an abundance of life that You provided in Christ. For I, the Lord thy God, have called you to be my children. Yea, I have fathered you, and none else. Now you're born from above. I have filled you with all that I am. And there are no limits on your life. I have said it. I will fulfill them. So don't be discouraged by your senses. Look unto Me and trust My words, for I will not let them fall to the ground. For I am your Father. Thank You, Father, and for Your great grace and mercy and love for us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thanks for having me. I so appreciate it.